Amen.
Can I get one of these?
Yeah.
My feet could walk a worldly road that led to nowhere fast. My eyes could seek a worldly prize, but it would never last. This world can offer many things that man tries to acquire, but Lord, my heart's been set apart, for you're my one desire. More like thee every day, more like thee, dear Lord, I pray. I want to be a better servant than the one I was yesterday. And when this world is looking at me, I pray, Father, all that they see is a child of God trying to be more like thee. When I was just a little girl, I chose to do God's will. And though times have changed, my heart's the same. I long to serve Him still. But each step I take, each move I make, the words I choose to say are reflection of the one I love and long to be like someday. More like thee every day, more like thee, dear Lord, I pray. I want to be a better servant than the one I was yesterday. And when this world is looking at me, I pray, Father, all that they see is a child of God trying to be more like thee.
Appreciate that. Amen. Well, that's going to be our desire tonight. More like Him. Let's open our Bible to the book of Acts chapter 11 tonight. And I want to use a verse of Scripture tonight. Let's just have a little Bible study tonight. I'm not going to preach. We're just going to take a little while and look at this Scripture. And talk about being a Christian. Being a Christian. Acts chapter 11 is the first time the word Christian is found in the Bible. Acts chapter 11. You would never believe that, would you? It's not Matthew, it's not Mark, Luke, John, or the Old Testament. The first time the word Christian is used is Acts chapter 11 and verse number 26. Look at it. Acts chapter 11, verse 26. And he said, when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. When you study church history, you'll understand what that place Antioch represents. Antioch of Syria. That's the Bible said there. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Think about that, in Antioch. So the first time they were called Christians is in Antioch. Think about that. Now that word Antioch represents a lot of stuff. The reason we believe the King James Bible, one of the reasons we believe the King James Bible, is because of the manuscripts the King James Bible was translated from. There was these manuscripts over here like that. Say that's a Greek manuscript. And there was these over here. And these over here come from Alexandria, Egypt. Alex. Well, that Egypt right there. And the King James Bible come from that manuscript over there, which is Antioch of Syria. Syrian type text, or what we call the Textus Receptus. So when we say we believe the King James Bible and we don't believe that the NIV and stuff is the Word of God, people say, oh, you crazy. All it does is make it easier to understand. No, no, no. It comes from a completely different set of manuscripts than our Bible did. It comes from a line, a family. The NIV, the RSV, the New ASV, all the new modern versions of the Bible. Even the New King James. The New King James. That claim comes from that one, but a lot of these readings from this line crept in. So our Bible came from Antioch of Syria. It didn't come from Egypt. Egypt's a picture of the world in the Bible. God wouldn't leave nothing in Egypt. God took everything out of Egypt. God wouldn't fool with Egypt. Egypt's a picture of the world. That's where them pyramids are over there, you know, them Giza pyramids. Smack dab in the middle of the world, right there, Satan's seat. And them things is right there in the middle of the planet, as far as the world mass. And you know something? The disciples were called Christians, not in Alexandria, Egypt, not in Rome. They were called in Antioch. They were called Christians in Antioch. So we don't get our Bible from Rome, thank God. Ain't nothing good come out of Rome, never has, amen? There's nothing coming out of Egypt good. It's Antioch of Syria. That's where the good stuff comes from. So the disciples here were called Christians first. And I don't know if you know this or not, but actually the word Christian, as far as we know, didn't even originate with God. God did not say, okay, are you saved now? You're a Christian. That, as far as we know, the word Christian didn't originate with God. As far as we know, the word Christian originated with other people calling them that. And it's Christi, like a little Christ. That's what the word Christian means. Christi, a little Christ. They said they looked so much like Jesus. They acted so much like Jesus. They dealt with people so much like Jesus. They called them a little Christ. They said, man, you must be followers of Jesus Christ. And they called them Christi, a little Christ, Christian. That's what a Christian is. Now, which leads us to this definition. Now, I'm going to say something that some of you might be a little surprised at first. But if you'll listen to me, I believe you'll agree. The original definition of Christian is a person who is following the Lord so close. They said, you're like a fanatic. They used to call... Like they'd call you, they'd call us, they used to call people, some heard me preach Castleites and stuff like that. They said, man, you're crazy, you worship Danny Castle. And they said, well, you're crazy too, we worship the Lord. And what they did, they followed the Lord so much that they said, Christ, Christ, Christian, Christ, Christian. Now, according to that definition, don't take this wrong, according to that definition, some people are saved that really ain't Christians, according to that definition. Now, don't get confused on me. Don't get confused. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. As far as following Christ. Now, usually we say, are you a Christian? We mean, are you saved? And I use that definition too, and I sure don't mean to confuse you. But the Bible definition of Christian is a person who's following Christ. And so that's what I want to talk about tonight, is what are we doing as a Christian? What we're doing as a Christian. Now, a real Christian is somebody that'll eat. A real Christian is somebody that'll eat. What does that mean? The Bible said, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. We've got babies in here tonight. There's one. There's a couple. There's one. There's another one. There's three or four in here tonight. Now, if I went up to you tonight and I said, Michael, when's the last time that baby eat? And you said, oh, about a week and a half ago. You know what would we all think? Something wrong with it. We'd automatically think something wrong with that kid. That little one over there. Lord, how could a baby that pretty come? I'm just sorry. I'm just kidding. If that baby, what's his name? Paisley. Ain't that a cool name? Sister Paisley, there with that big pink bow on her head. If I said, does she eat regular? And y'all say, well, she eats about once every 3 or 4 days. We'd have said, oh my goodness, there's something wrong with that kid. That kid needs to go to the hospital. Now, I'm going to tell you something tonight. There's something wrong with a Christian that won't eat. Something wrong. Somebody says, I'm saved, but I have no spiritual appetite. Can somebody agree with me? The first thing I wanted to do when I got saved, I was hungry to learn. I was hungry. I want church. I wanted Bible. A newborn baby, you don't have to smack it. Ask any of these mamas, did you have to smack it around to make it want to eat? No, no. Man, as soon as they're going, they're trying to grab a hold of your finger, they'll get a hold of you. They'll get a hold of your knuckle, they'll suck your knuckle, elbow, microphone, anything you put near them. It's natural. And a Christian's like that. Let me tell you, when a man gets saved or a girl gets saved, there's a natural hunger. You can't deny it. You can't get out of it. It's natural. The night I got saved, I remember, I said, they're going to do this again tomorrow night? They said, yep. Went back the next night. Went back the next night. Went back a week and a half of revival. And then I went to Rose's and Marion. This is how I didn't know where to get a Bible. I went to Rose's and Marion, bought me a little black Bible, had a zipper around it. And I'd been saved about 3 or 4 days. I think it cost $3 or $4. I went and bought that Bible and I started reading it. That was me. I wanted to get on the milk. There's something wrong with somebody who says, well, I've been saved. Never go to church. Never read the Bible. Never have no hunger for the Bible. I don't know. I ain't saying they're not saved. If they're saved, there's something wrong with them. I can say that. Just like a baby that won't eat. There's something wrong with a baby that won't eat. Now, you know, I know what's wrong with a lot of Christians. I know. I raised 3 kids. I know what's wrong. I know what's wrong with kids when they won't eat. When my girls was little, I always felt sorry for them, and I guess that's what accounts for some of their faults, I think, because I petted them a lot of times to make up for what they was having to go through. And we'd have ice cream in the refrigerator, we'd have Pepsis, and I'd be on here, I'd have to go preach some word, I'd come on, I said, I'll go ahead and get what you want. And they'd go in there and they'd eat, they'd come home, they'd eat a candy bar, drink Pepsi, stuff like that. Guess what? When you set, I mean, the kids eat potato chips and paint and Reese cups and Pepsis all evening, and then you come out there at 6 o'clock and set down green beans, you know, and you know what they're going to say? I ain't hungry. They ain't hungry because they're full of junk. Me, if I eat Pepsis and Reese, I don't want no green beans. Man, I ate ice cream and Pepsi last night. I sure did. I could have went and got green beans. I don't want no green beans. You know, when you can have something that sweet and that good, the flesh likes. Green beans would be better for me. But the flesh likes sugar and chocolate better. Now, the reason a lot of people won't come to church and hear the Bible and worship God is because the devil's feeding them that sugar and candy all week. Full of the world, full of the world's philosophy, TV, video games. I mean, put this is black letters on a white page. Put that beside a screen that big with motorcycles coming at you and doing that. Oh, yeah. Well, that's sugar. That's green beans and meat and potatoes and something that's good for you and make you grow. But the flesh has that appetite for stuff that ain't good for them. So, you know what we need to do? Lay off the sweets, brother, and have a good appetite. Now, what you're supposed to do is you make your kids eat something that's good for them, and then say you can have dessert after this. That's the way you're supposed to do it. But you tell me all about it, okay? I didn't do all that always. Jeremiah 15:16 said, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them." Thy words were found, and I did eat them. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." You know what thrills me? We've got people in our church that are whizzing right through the Bible. Bunch of them. Reading the Bible like crazy. Started January the 1st, and you can tell the difference in them. You can tell the difference. When a young man or young lady, when they eat good, and they build up muscles, and they're eating their Wheaties, brother, you know, and instead of eating Pop-Tarts, brother, it's bacon and eggs, amen. I mean, biscuits, something that'll put a little meat on your bones. They're eating good, and that's the way the Word of God is. That's the way the Word of God is. Get you a good meal of the Word of God every day of your life. This morning I woke up, I'll just give you an example. I think it was about 4 o'clock this morning. I do that just about every morning. I read 5 chapters in my Bible, I pray, and then I go back to sleep for a little while. And until time to get up. And I do that all the time. I do it all the time. And then when I get up, by the time my phone starts ringing and my daily chores come about and the work, I've done got 5 chapters under my belt and I'm ready to face the world and whatever I need to face. If you get up And then you drag up late, and then the phone rings, then this happens, then the kids here. You say, oh my goodness, it's 12 o'clock and I ain't read my Bible. Then you have to go get the kids at school. And then you have, well, it's 3 o'clock and I still ain't read my Bible. Well, it's 5 o'clock and I still ain't read my Bible. Some of y'all sitting here tonight, you still ain't read it today because you're too busy. You find time to eat. You find time to feed this flesh. So find time to feed your soul the Word of God. Find time. Amen. I asked a lady one time at church, she said, do you know much about the Bible? Do you know anything that's in the Bible? She said, yeah, a pressed squirrel tail, a rose from Aunt Molly's grave, an insurance receipt, and Grandpa's Masonic Lodge in emblem. That's all she knew. To her, the Bible was a place just to keep stuff when people died and stuff. It's not. It's not. That's your grocery store. That's your supermarket, brother. That's where you get your food. And you don't like to sit down and eat green beans and okra. I'm not like here old Jack Hiles. He said when he was little, he said his mama would set him down and she'd say, Jack, eat that okra. And he said, I hated it. But he said, I'd eat it. And the next day she'd say, Jack, eat that okra. He said, my mom made me eat okra when I was little. He said, and here I am, 50 years old, whatever he was. Here I am all these years later. And he said, I'm going to tell you right now. He said, if you put a plate of hot steamed okra right there and a T-bone steak right there, he said, I'd eat both of them. And what he was saying was, I've learned to like okra. Now me, I never did learn how to do that. We never had okra, but I learned how to like macaroni and cheese. You know what my girls learned how to like when they was little? Oodles of noodles. We eat 10,000 bags of that stuff in little packs. Every day. What do you want for supper, honey? Oodles of noodles will be all right. Stick it down in there. And they took liver mush sandwiches to school for a long time. But you should have had that okra. Anybody want to say anything about what you had to eat when you was little? I feel like somebody needs to, Brother Ray. You stabbed your babysitter with a butcher knife? My goodness. We keep learning things about Brother Ray and his past. He's in the mafia, probably. We're probably going to find out he's an infiltrator here sent by the government to get us in trouble. My goodness, stabbed your babysitter with a meat cleaver, brother. Okay. Just because you want to make you eat okra? My first grade teacher used to, when you're at school, they made you eat everything on your plate. And my first grade teacher made me eat spinach. Made us. We had to. And I'm telling you, I thought I'd die. I thought I was going to gag. I was going to throw up, and I've never liked it to this day. So that can backfire. That can backfire on you. I don't know how y'all do it with your kids, but it can backfire. Maybe somebody made me eat it regular. Like, that's why people ask me, how come I don't drink coffee? Everywhere I go, people say, you can't be a preacher. And I say, why? They said, you're not fat, you don't drink coffee, and you're not this. And I said, well, maybe I ain't. I claim to be. I said, the Lord called me, I know that. And they said, how come you don't drink coffee? And I said, when I was little, my sisters gave me some coffee, and they told me it's Pepsi. And I took a big drink of it, and I thought I was going to throw up. And I never touched coffee since. I must have been 5 years old. And I ain't touched it since. And I'm not saying it's wrong to drink coffee. I just don't have no taste for it. Now the same is true about the Word of God. You need to get, that's why it's important you get in a church where you hear a balanced diet of the Word of God. The Word of God. Your kids need to hear a balanced diet of the Word of God. I had some people come to church one time in Marion years ago. And they was in one of these super duper strict, independent, fundamental, blessed God. If you don't do every little thing just like we do, you're going to hell. You know that. And I got up and preached a regular Sunday morning sermon. I preached on tears and God will wipe away all tears or something like that. And they come up to me and they shook my hand and they said, "You just don't know how refreshing it is here. The preacher just preached the Bible." Yeah. I said, "What?" I mean, they go to one of famous independent Baptists. They said, all we ever hear is women dress a certain way, this here, this is wrong, that's, you know, short skirts, bobbed hair, bossy wives. They said, that's all we ever hear preached. They said, it's just a blessing to hear a preacher preach the Bible once in a while. And that's what you've got to get from the Word of God. You've got to get on all that stuff once in a while. But people need a diet of the Bible, people. You need to hear about prophecy, but not every Sunday. You need to hear about Christian convictions, but not every week, for heaven's sake. These people in here hurting. There's people in here just lost a loved one. There's people here last Sunday morning just barely hanging on their marriage. There's people here Sunday morning sitting right back in this section who just come thinking, we've been on drugs, we don't know what to do, help us, preacher. You've got to remember there's a whole crowd of people sitting here, and you've got to put out the food from the Word of God. Not just get up here and say, bless God, we don't believe in that. A lot of preachers just preach that so you don't have to study. You don't have to study to preach that stuff. Just over and over and over and over and over. I know some preachers that if Obama died and all the homosexuals died, they wouldn't have nothing to preach about. I mean, you ought to hit that about once on the blue moon. But my goodness, I mean, you got to study, get something out of here and give it to people so they can eat, so they can grow. You don't want the same thing to eat every meal, do you? I like steak, but I don't want it. Well, I might. Heard people say, don't you get tired of steak? I ain't never got tired of steak. I never had enough steak so many days in a row to get tired of it. But I can eat it a lot, but still, you wouldn't want it every meal. Not every meal. You want something different. You want potatoes. You want some pasta. You want some fruit, vegetables, some sweet, you know, and that's what a Christian's supposed to feed off the Word of God. I got a lot of stuff I could talk about tonight, and I'll never in the world get to it. Anybody want to help us right there? Okay? You know why they call them Christians? They eat. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God shall man live. They eat. Let me tell you something else. A Christian, one that follows Jesus, will work. They'll work. Jesus told that guy over there, he said, son, go work today in my vineyard. Work today is a four-letter word. But our churches tonight are filled with people who don't work for the Lord. Now, I'm going to make a statement, and you evaluate this statement. 9 times out of 10, if not 10, when people get up disgruntled, or they're mad, or they're upset about something in the church, 9 times out of 10, it's people who don't work. Who don't work. I mean, in the work of the Lord. If you're busy in the work of the Lord, you don't have time. Busy people have no time to be busy bodies. The people who get upset in church is people who think, I'm above everybody else. I'm more righteous than you. I'm more right with you. I'm more holy than you. I'm more holy than you. So therefore, I think that. And there's where people get in trouble. When you quit doing something, and then you start judging everybody else, that's where you get in trouble. The best way to stay in church is stay busy, brother. Stay busy. I never had any trouble out of people that work bus route, people that stay busy, soul winning, people that give out tracts, people that pray and fast. Never. It's always people who think, I think this and I think that, and I don't think he'll do that, and I don't think she'll do that, and I don't think, well, and I don't like the way she raises her kids, and she's wrong by the way she does her kids, and he's wrong by the way he lets his daughter dress, and he's wrong by the way he lets his daughter, and they get into other people's business too much. You start getting into other people's business, it means you quit work yourself. You quit work yourself. You stay busy enough for God. Jesus said, son, go work. Go work. There was a man one time went to the doctor, and the doctor said, He said, give it to me straight, Doc. I can take it. He said, you're lazy. He said, could you give me a little more medical term so I can tell my wife? And that's what's wrong. That's what's wrong. We get lazy. The Lord said, the night cometh when no man can work. We better work while it's day. You know what? You know how you want the Lord to bless you? Take you a day or a night. Come out Saturday morning. Come out here Saturday morning and just go visit. And you say, well, I don't know nobody to visit. Everybody needs to visit. Go down that road right there. Go down Palmdale Avenue. And go down there and just knock on somebody's door. It won't cost you no gas. Just stay busy. Stay busy. A real Christian is somebody who will work in the work of the Lord. A man told me one time, he said, I'm burnt out, preacher. I said, what in the world does that mean? That ain't in the Bible. He said, I'm burnt out. He said, I'm burnt out. There ain't no such thing as burnt out. I think that's another word for backslid. You listen, if you're doing God's will, you don't get burnt out. No such thing. I know preachers have been preaching 50 years, and they're going strong. If your heart's right with God, now I'll tell you what will mess you up is when you're trying to do the work of the Lord and your heart ain't right. That will drag you down. But if your heart's right, you enjoy doing something for God, and you enjoy going to church, and you don't get burnt out. There's no such thing as that burnout business in the Bible. There's such thing as your heart not in it. There's such a thing as not having your first love. That might be another definition for it. Biblically, it's amazing to me how unscriptural Christians talk nowadays. It's so evident that they don't read the Bible. It's unscriptural talk. They say things all the time like, come to our church. We're going to have a good night. They'll call it a... They have weird names for it. It ain't Bible. We're going to have this or we're going to have that at our church. What about the Bible talks about? The Bible don't even talk about a public worship service. The Bible talks about a preaching service, an evangelistic meeting. Like, that's why on our bulletin or on our sign, we don't put Sunday school 10 o'clock, worship 11. We put Sunday school 10 o'clock, preaching at 11. That's the biblical. We're supposed to preach the gospel. You're not supposed to just, you don't get it in people's minds, we worship God on Sunday from 11 to 12. That ain't when you worship God. You ought to get up every day of your life and throw your hands up and say, Lord, I love you. You've been good to me. You worship God. You don't say, well, we work all week and go worship on Sunday. You see how people separate that from their normal life? No. You worship every day. You come and get the devil preached out of you Sunday morning, Sunday night, try to see God do something. Then you leave to serve and go back out and do something for God. So a real Christian is somebody who will work for the Lord. Who will work for the Lord. Idleness is a dangerous, dangerous thing. Becoming idle. Just sitting around with your mind in neutral, that's a very, very dangerous thing. Anybody else? Right quick, we're running out of time here. Right quick. All right, let me tell you something else about a real Christian. A real Christian ain't tied up. He gets loose. You know when the Lord told Lazarus up, he come out like that right there, and he told them guys, he said, loose him and let him go. And he cut that junk off of him that they'd put on him. And Lazarus, man, he was free. That's the real Christian. A real Christian is not tied up in the things of the world to where he can't be free to serve God. A real Christian is not tied up. I've told you this story before, and I'm going to tell you this, and I'm done. My daddy had this little old bitty dog. It was a miniature collie. I don't know if you've ever seen a miniature collie. It wasn't about this big. Looked just like a regular collie, like Lassie, except it was about that long, about that high. Funniest looking little thing you ever seen. And that thing was 90% hair. And we called him Tiny. That's what daddy called him, Tiny. And that little old dog, soaking wet, it looked like a rat. Looked like an armadillo. He just had that long nose like a collie does and all that hair. And when Daddy died, Tiny stayed around the house there. And Mom every day she'd say, well, I fed Tiny. And Tiny just, imagine a collie that big and that high. Her hair was thick and it drugged the ground. And Tiny would go out there in them weeds and get the dog going to weeds like that. And a briar would get hung in that hair and cuckle burrs. Is that what y'all call them, cucklers? Look like they're porcupine eggs. They're about that big. But anyway, them things, would get stuck in her hair, and then she'd break off a stick, and it'd be, and bless her heart, she'd come over there at the house and could hardly walk for the junk. She had sticks and briars and beggar lice and cuckleburrs and everything. And they would say, poor little old Tiny. Somebody said, somebody ought to just cut all that mess off and set her free. And you know, I seen her walking around like that, dragging sticks. And I thought, that's the way a lot of Christians come in. A lot of Christians come in just tangled up in junk. They're drinking, they're shacking up, their whole Christian life just junk all over it. And you need the Lord to shear you off or something, to cut out a bunch of that stuff so you can be free. I felt sorry for her. I don't know if she finally died, I reckon, but I felt sorry for old Tiny. Somebody should have just took the scissors and just whacked all that hair off and set her free. But anyway, here's the way the Bible puts it. Be not entangled with the yoke of bondage. That's the way the Bible puts it. Be not entangled. You ever got your feet just tangled up and you can't, it drives you crazy. You can't walk, you're tripping and falling. That's the way a lot of God's people are. Trip and fall, just tangled up where they can't serve God. How many people do you know that's got themselves tangled up in some mess and it keeps them from serving God? You know people like that. Sure, we all do. Anybody want to say anything right there? I'm going to stop. Our time's about gone. What kind of Christian are you tonight? What kind of Christian are you? You say, Brother Danny, I'm tangled up and I need to eat. Well, let's just rededicate our life tonight and get on the ball and do what God wants us to do. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Come on to the piano, Miss Desi. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Let's take just a minute here tonight. All them kids are back there tonight and they're learning stuff and we're sort of in here where it's quiet. Let's take just a minute here tonight and let's ask God to make us the Christian that we ought to be. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord, I don't want to be tangled up with the affairs of this life. The Bible. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this, that he may please him who's chosen him to be a soldier. Something's come to altar, you'll come to altar, you'll come and pray. Wants to pray there at your seat, that's fine too. Let's just get in this altar tonight. I'll pray there at your seat and say, Lord, help us tonight. Oh God, we come before you asking forgiveness of our sin. Everything we've said or done contrary to the will of God, we pray in Jesus' name that you'll forgive us. We ask you, Lord, that you'd have mercy upon us tonight now. May your will be done in our lives. We love you. Help us to be a blessing to those we meet along the way. God, do what needs to be done in every heart. Lord, bless those that are sick, not able to be here tonight. I pray the Holy Ghost would touch their hearts and lives. Dear God, move in our church. Let it be blessed. Let it be what you want it to be in these last days. Oh God, as we move forward, get ready for the youth rally. God, set us ablaze. Set us on fire for the glory of God. Have you in our hearts, God. Do what needs to be done. We'll thank you and praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray and for his sake. Amen. 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 All right. All right.